I'd like to begin today just by reading a small quote from a book. The book is entitled The Prize. It's written by Daniel Yergin. And I guess the subtitle you could say on the cover is The Epic Quest for Oil, Money, and Power. If you ever want to understand a little better the events that are taking place in the world today and in the future, this book is certainly very insightful as to what's happened in the past 150 or 160 years in the oil business. However, in the opening chapter, set in the 1850s or so, middle 1850s actually, he writes, "The group that thought the rock oil could be exploited in far larger quantities and processed into a fluid that could be burned as an illuminant in lamps. This new illuminant, they were sure, would be highly competitive with the coal oils that were winning the markets of the 1850s. In short, they believed that if they could obtain it in sufficient quantities, they could bring to market inexpensive, high-quality illuminant that the mid-19th century man so desperately needed." A little bit further on in the same paragraph, And like all entrepreneurs who were persuaded by their own dreams, they were further convinced that by doing all of this, they would grow very rich indeed. So there you have what was really driving the oil business in its inception, and it is certainly driving the oil business today. Ironically, the oil industry has grown to epitomize greed and corruption and darkness. While at the outset they were trying to find a cheap source of light, which they did in a literal sense, after they refined this black crude oil coming out of the ground in Pennsylvania, they were able to separate it into something that they called kerosene, which for decades was what all of the world ended up using to light their homes and their businesses. Oil. Wars are fought over it. Wars are won or lost, with it or without it. In World War II, General Patton said, "You give me some free gas and I'll win this war." Fuel shortages have been plaguing him for months. Fortunes have been made and lost over oil. Ruthless businessmen, such as John D. Rockefeller, who actually started Standard Oil, he brought order to the oil business, which had been quite sporadic and unreliable at the time. But he did it in a ruthless way, and he left broken dreams and bankrupt businesses in his wake. But he was very successful financially. I read a little blurb from a U.S. News and World Report article. It's dated August 1st, 2008. "Want to know where your gas money's going? Here's a clue to start your research. The world's largest oil company earned $1,500 last quarter. Every second. $1,500 every second. $90,000 every minute." So in the little 10-minute space of time that I'm going to take here today to talk about this business a little bit, Exxon is going to clear, after expenses, almost $1 million in 10 minutes. So the oil that was to illuminate the world has a history as black as the bubbling crude that was first refined back in the 1850s. Everything you see, everything you touch, has been affected in one way or the other by the oil business. If you live in an underdeveloped country, it's because there may not be any oil there. Or it's because the government that's taking all the money for the oil is not passing it along. If you live in the affluent West, in the richest state in the United States, you're affected by oil. Try to find an exception. Actually, it's a fun little exercise. Try to find something, and I mean anything, that has not been affected by the oil industry in one way or the other. Everything in your home, including your home, was either manufactured with the use of oil, it was brought to you in a vehicle that burns oil, it may be partly made up of oil. So maybe if you went to the far north and you swam down under a glacier and you chipped a piece of ice off and you say, I'll get him, I'll show him, here's something. Well, what are you going to put it in? Try to find a container to put it in. Everything you see and everything you touch has been affected by the oil industry on one level or another. And once again, mankind is in desperate need of a high-quality illuminant, but on a spiritual level. Seriously, between now and the feast, try to find one thing that has not been affected by oil. Even the trees. We have beautiful trees outside the window here. They're starting to turn color now, ready for the snow that's coming. They're beautiful. But what would they look like if they didn't have acid rain dropping on them? All the chemicals that are falling from the sky every time it rains. What would they look like without that? Just taking one aspect of our daily life in this present world, such as oil, can really demonstrate how far man has strayed from God. Imagine a world where everything you see and everything you touch is a direct result from the very hand of God. Mankind, the environment, everything. What a world this will be, and it will be. And this is the prize, you could say. This is the prize that we're going to go to the Feast of Tabernacles this year and celebrate. We're all going to burn a lot of oil to get there. But when we get there, the purpose of us being there, it's not just a world without oil. It's a world where everything you see and everything you touch will be a direct result from the very hand of the living God. Try to find something now that has been untainted by mankind, that remains exactly the same as the way God left it. Think of the future world described by Isaiah, if you'll turn with me. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 11, starting in verse 6. I'm going to read this whole passage right through to verse 9. Because I think as we prepare for the feast, this has to be our focus. I don't know about you, but coming up to the feast this year, I am probably dealing with more things than I've ever had to deal with before a feast in my life. And I was talking to somebody else on the computer last night. Exact same problem. Exactly the same. All these distractions, always coming up just before the feast. So let's redirect our attention, and we're going to look at this world that we're all of creation is earnestly waiting for. Verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You know, I mentioned earlier that this world is desperately seeking a high-powered illuminant on a spiritual level. And this world is going to get it, isn't it? What a wonderful time that will be. You know, something else that's always interesting to do just prior to the feast, Mr. Armstrong wrote a book called The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. It's an excellent thing to read just before the feast. Psalm 119. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The very word of God, it's been there the whole time. Of course, man is always looking in the wrong place, aren't they? John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 12. And Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You know, the wonderful world tomorrow that's described in the book of Isaiah, as well as in other places, it's absolutely nothing like the world we see. And it's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine the world we live in without oil. One industry. Just take one industry out. What would it be like? You can't even imagine it. Imagine the world when Satan himself is bound up and Jesus Christ is reigning on the earth. What a wonderful time. So between now and the feast, just take a few minutes. Take 5 minutes. Wherever you are, whether it's at work, whether you're at home, doesn't matter. Look around you. Try to find one thing. Try to find one thing that has not been affected by the oil industry. And then while you're at that, try to find one thing that exists that's been untainted by man's meddling with it. How far have we come? And how far we have to go. But in just over 5 weeks, I guess, to the feast now, just over 5 weeks, we're going to have a chance to get together and celebrate this wonderful new world. Not the way we see it, the way the Bible describes it, the way we can imagine it. And in the meantime, we continue to pray, Thy kingdom come.